Good evening. I'm Rick Cottom. Welcome to Your Maryland. For more than 6,000 American sailors, the War of 1812 ended behind the forbidding granite walls of Dartmoor Royal Prison, 17 miles north of Plymouth, England. Built in 1809 to house French prisoners taken in the war against Napoleon, Dartmoor had gained a reputation for breaking men in body and spirit, as the Americans learned the minute they entered its massive gates. Situated on a rise where it caught the full force of the Atlantic westerlies, it was the coldest place on the bleak Devonshire Moor. Escape over the double walls, with a sentry stationed every 20 feet, was impossible. The American government sent money to buy the prisoners' food and clothing, but the American agent in Britain kept most of it for himself. The men subsisted on salt beef and black bread. In winter, the stream providing drinking water froze solid to the bottom, forcing them to quench their thirst by eating snow. Often shoeless and bare-legged, they had to turn out every morning and stand for an hour while the prison governor had them counted. Some collapsed in the freezing wind, but little relief was to be had inside their barracks. The buildings were drafty and leaked. The stone walls and floors were always wet and cold as ice. Yet these were men who did not break easily. Most were merchant seamen. Others had shipped aboard American privateers. Some had tried to find work in the Royal Navy, and when war broke out, had stepped forward and announced themselves. Offered the chance to enlist again, they'd refused and taken a flogging before being sent to Dartmoor. In prison, they governed themselves and kept their spirits up with boxing matches, gambling, playing ball in the yard, and of all things, staging Shakespeare's plays. Some scrounged extra food and made hot fritters to sell in the prison's market square. Others sold trinkets made of beef bones. Always defiant, on July 4, 1813, they waved American flags from either end of their barracks, amusing the guards and infuriating the governor. In December 1814, long before the news reached the United States, the prisoners at Dartmoor learned that a peace treaty had been signed at Ghent. Their release was imminent. But January passed, then February and March, and still no word came. On April 6, 1815, at 6 in the evening, the prison's governor, Captain Thomas Shortland, was told that a riot was in the making. Shortland was an improvement over the martinet who had stood the men in the snow, but he'd grown edgy as the winter dragged on and the prisoners' patience wore thin. In fact, there was no riot, only a group of boys taunting the guards, who for some reason wouldn't return a ball they'd kicked over the wall. But Shortland panicked. Alarm bells pealed, drums rattled, and a column of soldiers marched into the market square. Guards rushed to the walls. Thinking a fire had broken out, thousands of prisoners left their barracks and flooded through narrow gates and into the square. Sensing something bad was about to happen, most of Shortland's officers melted away. Sure enough, when the soldiers were 3 yards from the prisoners, Shortland ordered a bayonet charge. The Americans ran back into their compound but couldn't crowd inside their barracks quickly enough. Someone fired a single shot. On the walls, the guards took aim at the melee below. Perhaps it could have been stopped there, but it wasn't. "It was one of the most wretched things that ever took place," one sailor wrote. "They killed some while begging for mercy after being wounded. They kicked and mangled the dead right before our faces. At least 7 sailors died in volleys of musketry. 60 more suffered bullet and bayonet wounds." An official inquiry hinted that Shortland was mentally unstable, but the real blame for the Dartmoor massacre lay elsewhere. In February, when it ratified the Treaty of Ghent, the American government had asked Britain to ship the prisoners home. American ships would carry British prisoners to Bermuda and Halifax. But His Majesty's government replied that that was an unfair distribution of expenses. Arguing across the Atlantic took time in 1815, and while 2 governments bickered, one last bitter chapter was added to a war that never should have happened. Eventually, the prisoners did return home, but not one of them ever forgot the cold or the inhumanity of Dartmoor Prison.